Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, relatively new chief. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Yeah, 7 weeks in. Still relatively new.
Okay, but we've had a change of status since the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago. You are now a real cop in Florida?
As of yesterday at about noon, I am official. Yeah, I had to spend the last couple weeks taking some mandatory training. They did not take it easy on me. I was out at a driving course, again, navigating cones. I spent a full day Sunday on the range, shot, I don't know, 300 or 400 rounds. And then yesterday I took the state mandated written test and passed. So, but they did not take it easy on me because I was a chief at all.
Now, is this, I'm kind of curious, did you go through the same, is it the same certification that any law enforcement officer in Florida goes through, or was there some heightened scrutiny because you're the chief? I just don't know.
Well, if you come from out of state, what they do is they look at the records that you bring with you. So I gave my Chicago Police Academy records, all the in-service training that I'd done throughout my career, and they look at it and they say, what's equivalent to what we're doing now, and what are you lacking?
Okay.
And that we need you to know in Florida, and they have to put you through that. So there could be a little bit different, but as far as did they treat me different from I was chief, when I was out on that firing range, and it was a retired officer who really knows his stuff was standing next to me given my qualification course, I kind of felt a little added pressure that, he doesn't give breaks to anybody. He didn't care if I was a chief or not. So I thought they actually were a little bit harder on me, but that's a positive thing.
Yeah, that's great. Was it at the sheriff's office one over there on the west side of town on Longleaf? Is that the one you were at?
Very thankful that they let us use that range. It would be great. You know, they're very busy and we're busy too. And training is so important to me. It would be great if we found some alternative to that too, to take some pressure off them. But I know land isn't cheap, and finding some place that you can fire some rounds without disturbing the neighbors is sometimes hard.
Yeah, and I know they're very busy at that facility. And they've got the shoot house now. I mean, it's a great facility. Is that something you're looking to develop? Is a like a PPD devoted facility? Then I mean, certainly you could outsource it to GBPD or Milton or whatever.
Absolutely, but I think you know, I'm a good steward of public funds, and the bottom line is those are expensive. So
yeah.
So maybe a partnership if we could explore that. Maybe some nice philanthropic group wants to come along and say, hey, we understand there's a need here, and it's great for training. And we want to see what we can do. So, but that's definitely on my list of possible opportunities, but mindful of the budget.
You know, okay, this is completely like the third level tangent to my original question of how you got certified. But does anybody ever do like a business that would have a shooting range that is at the standard that you could use for police qualifications? Because it seems like, you know, the kind of people who like to shoot guns would love to shoot on a real range, you know, that the cops might use. And then that would be a like a public-private partnership kind of opportunity. I just don't know if that even happens in the industry.
Absolutely. And it does happen. And I've experienced that myself in a couple places that I've worked that take those opportunities. I mean, you just got to make sure all the insurance is up to date and ready to go. And you can have those public private partnerships.
That's so cool.
Absolutely right. Possibility. Sometimes the limitation is just size.
Yeah.
A lot of these private, especially the indoor ranges, they might only be 5 or 6 lanes.
Sure.
So that's a concern.
And I know we're kind of still on this, but the driving was over at Brunson Field where you ran through the cones. Cause I had a chance to do that last year. And I learned that I can never, ever do the shuffle steering. I have tried the shuffle steering. I cannot. I mean, I can, but I hate it so much.
You get in these mindsets of doing something for 20 years, and the shuffle steering is something that was new to me, and they were, you know, I had to do it
to pass,
to survive the day, to get through it. But yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah,
whole
I mean,
day
like,
over there, and yes, that's where it was.
I mean, I'm 55. I've been driving since I was 16 years old, 38, 39 years. I'm not learning to steer for new. I can do it to pass, but I don't want to do it. All right, so let's talk about some things.
Go ahead. I was going to say, when I started shooting on Saturday, they had the optics with the red dot in them.
Like yes.
You're looking through a fire.
Yes.
And that's really good if that's how you train. But I've been shooting for, you know, 26 years without it. So I asked them, I was like, can you turn this off while I shoot? It's really distracting. I had to get that. So it's something I'll need to train up on.
No, you know, I had the exact same. That's so funny because I was like, everybody swears by it. You know, my son who loves guns, he's like, Dad, you just got to convert. And all the cops obviously use the red dot. And I'm like, I hate it. Give me an iron sight, man. I don't know how to do this thing. So that's so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a lot of big high-profile news incidents this week, but I did want to ask you a couple of things that are going on that are interesting. Obviously, we had this First Amendment auditor thing with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and I know I've talked with Mike Wood, the PIO, about this. You know, there are all kinds of these things out there, but you saw this video, or you saw enough of it. How do you train police who I know we what you hire for is you hire good people that can be trained to be cops, right? And
that's
so,
right.
How do you train for those kind of handling stress, handling conflict, de-escalate? You know, how do you train for this to be more effective? Not just that situation, but in general,
it's tough because we hire only human beings.
Yeah,
and you expect to put a robot cop out there and just you know be stoic all times, but we are humans. And I understand that. So one of the things that I do, literally every recruit that I've ever hired as chief, so on hundreds of now officers, on their first day, I would sit down with them with the command staff and go over expectations. And the very first expectation that I say is something that helped me when I was young. Now, somebody told me it was when you start your job, keep in the back of your mind or the front of your mind that somewhere around 30% of your paycheck, we are paying you just to have your feelings hurt, so that when you're standing out there and somebody's trying to get under skin and you're going back to your human sense of, you know, I have to react to this. They're talking about, you know, I mean, people say the craziest things. They're talking about my mom. They're talking about my family. And the human in you reacts. If you can just revert to remembering, hey, wait a minute, this is my job is just to stand here and get my feelings hurt. You can actually rationalize it and overcome it and say, like, okay, I just stand here. I'm getting paid to do this. This is kind of takes you to another place, but it is hard. Now, having said that, in this deputy's defense, I realize there's no law about being an ignorant jerk, but these First Amendment auditors, I mean, the best thing for that guy probably was the fact that he was interacting with someone with a badge and a gun, because that was protecting him from her human reaction of what she really wanted to do. Because if you talk to the way these people interact with police officers, if you talk to somebody like that in the real world, you're going to have stronger repercussions. So, you know, do we need to recognize First Amendment? Absolutely. Are we all human? Yep. Should there be a law against being an ignorant jerk? Probably not, but it doesn't make you a good person to do that.
I love that observation about 30% of your pay is just for you to take getting your feelings hurt. That's fab. And I had the same reaction. I thought, you know, what this guy needs is a pretty good punch in the face, and if he hadn't been dealing with the cop, he probably would have gotten it. We're talking to Eric Winstrom. What's that?
I've had so many people tell me, you know, oh, you're lucky you've got that, you know, that badge and gun. Otherwise, you know, this would, and I'm thinking, you're lucky I've got this badge and gun. This is the fact that I'm wearing this, you know, that I'm representing the police is the only thing protecting me from taking action like a normal human would do.
Now, you've only been in the job 7 weeks, so this might be the last time that I ask you. I might ask you again, but I always am a big believer in the new eyes phenomenon. You know, when you come into any institution or structure, you see it with new eyes, and pretty quickly you adjust. It's like, you know, daytime eyes in a dark theater, you adjust pretty quickly, but that momentary or maybe a couple of weeks long where it's all new to you, and so you see the ugly, dumb, silly spots better. Are you seeing anything? Is there anything that, you know, you see here that we need to do differently at this point? Because last time you basically said, I mean, things look good, which I understand. But are you seeing anything with your new eyes yet?
Well, I'll keep the statement that I am super optimistic. And the foundation of just an amazing police department with amazing, amazing people is there. So this is definitely I'm set up for success. Are there things to change? Yes. I mentioned the range for one thing. Training is so important to me. Some less exciting things like our records management system. I've really been taking a deep dive into that because public facing data is so important to me and making sure that we can provide that. You know, I had a request from the mayor, hey, how many the mayor's office asking certain traffic crash data. And it was really hard to draw something that you should be able to easily get from your records management system. I know it's not one of those exciting things that you talk about when you think policing, but so one of the great benefits of this training that I went through over the past couple of weeks, training is so important to me. I really didn't know what we were putting our officers through. And now having gone through so much of it myself and seeing the caliber of the personnel we have working in training, that just made me even more optimistic. We've got such a great foundation and we're headed in the right direction. One other positive thing, I went through this course for lateral, you know, officers coming from out of state, and there were three young men who were coming from, you know, as far away as Wisconsin looking for employment. All three applied to Pensacola, and exceptional candidates. That combined with the exceptional people that we have in the academy process right now, things are looking up. We're going to fill the few vacancies that we have and keep looking to build a stronger police department.
Outstanding. Very good. Now, you've got a thing coming up. You're going to be playing basketball at the YMCA. Is that right?
The Escambia Warriors have invited us to participate. It's going to be Saturday, 1 p.m., the downtown YMCA. And the Escambia Warriors are – that's a team – that is part of the Special Olympics organization, one of my favorite organizations, and certainly one of my favorite to partner with from the police department. We have such a good relationship with them and in the previous agencies where I've worked, and that relationship is so important to me to support the athletes, support their families, and it's going to be 1 to 3. It's a good time. I know it's open to the public if you want to stop by and cheer on these athletes. Really remarkable group, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, it sounds like one of the things that our local law enforcement does so well is the kind of, some people call it community policing. I think of it more as just public outreach. It's, you know, like the touch a truck stuff or the coffee with a cop or crawfish and, you know, all of the different things that are done as a way of sort of humanizing the police and getting especially young kids in challenged neighborhoods to have contact with law enforcement so that that becomes normal to them and they see you as people instead of, you know, the 5-0 and the badge and all that kind of stuff. I assume these are all things that you intend to continue and expand?
Absolutely. And it's so important that if your only interaction is, you know, you were in the passenger seat of your parents' car when they got stopped and given a ticket, or you were there when your brother got arrested. If you're only having interactions with police officers under, you know, enforcement type scenarios like that, it can really impact how then you see the police and how you yourself interact with the police moving forward. And starting at a young age, these non-enforcement situations, these humanizing, just meeting the police officer and finding out they're more than just the uniform. They're real people. They're good people. They care about people. Not only is it a positive experience, it's good for, you know, that how the perception of policing is, but it can really impact those scenarios moving forward. That same individual who had, this positive experience when he was in class talking to a police officer that stopped by school, 5 years from now, they might be in some sort of crisis. And a police officer walks in, and they still have that in their mind. This is a human. This is somebody that cares. So it often just leads to better outcomes.
You know, we're running out of time. I did want to ask you. Obviously, there's a small group of people that I do think represent more than just themselves, but they keep coming to the city council meeting to talk about the flock cameras and technology, and they're very passionate, and they don't particularly listen to other people who disagree, and they are socialists, and I mean, that's fine. You know, that's legal. But this is a continuing issue, and I know you're an advocate of the technology, and you've said so quite vigorously, but have you and D.C. maybe talked about the possibility of doing a brief, of doing a Q&A, of doing something to, and I know it may not work for them because they may not be there for just this reason, but for political advantage, whatever, but something so the public can really get their questions answered more than just they get them answered from you and I talking on the radio or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. From the mayor's office, I know everything's on the table. I think they were probably going a little easy on me, knowing that I was transitioning into this role, that I was doing a ton of training and just sort of, you know, learning everybody's name, where to park, where, you know, everything. But moving forward, I'm huge on transparency. If there are people with sincerely held beliefs and concern, I am always willing to talk with them. And if that also amounts to some sort of presentation, always willing to do that. And flock is that's an easy one. I mean, in most police officers' mind, that's a ground ball. It's not controversial at all, but it has become sort of a cause that's been carried out by these socialist groups across the country. I've heard the same script over and over the last two departments I've been at, that you'll see the speakers go up with their cell phones and read the group that they get from the socialist group website. And that's fine. But if they're sincerely held beliefs and concerned and people want to know the actual facts about flock, I can share it. And they're not, you know, be somebody with a sort of libertarian mindset myself. It's nothing that I'm concerned about. And I I grew up in the 1900s, so.
I love that way to say it. Yeah. And that's a great perspective on it. You know, as a libertarian leaning, if you don't have a problem with it, as you say, it's a ground ball for technology within the police community. Eric Winstrom, he is the chief of Pensacola Police. As always, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Glad to know your family is here. And, you know, that's always better. And that you passed your test, and now you're officially a cop since high noon yesterday. And I feel like the Ennio Morricone soundtrack ought to be running. But fully and officially welcome to town to the job. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Talk soon.